Hey everyone, Chat Cemetery is back. I'm your host, Deanna Chapman, and today I am joined by Katie from I Hope You Suffer. We are talking all about Stephen King's novella, Elevation, and here's your spoiler warning for this episode. This is not super long, you know, most novellas aren't, so we probably won't go too terribly long here, but I did want to point out that this is episode 150, which is kind of crazy, but Katie, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. I'm excited to talk finally about something that I don't have to preface by being like, it's not the best, it's a little goofy. I think this is just a really straight up like good story.
Yeah, I have been a big fan of King's novellas, especially, you know, the ones in different seasons and some of the other ones that he's released over the years. You know, I think The Mist counts as a novella. And this one in particular brings us back to Castle Rock. And this was actually a reread for me because I read it when it came out. I saw it at the library and I was like, oh, look at this cute little book. I can read that in between the others. No problem. And so that's pretty much what I did because I had just started the podcast. I think the trailer for this podcast dropped the day after this book came out by chance.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of a funny coincidence there. But like I said, we're going back to Castle Rock. Our main character is Scott Carey. And Katie, for you, have you read Thinner?
Unfortunately, yes, I have read Thinner. I read it back when it might have been our very first Stephen King month that we did for I Hope You Suffer, where we did like Dreamcatcher and Thinner back to back. And I did read both of the stories like specifically just so I could have background for them. But I think I've blocked a lot of it out, to be honest with you.
I think I was probably a little generous looking back now on my Thinner rating for the book. And it was funny because I was reading this and I was like, oh, this guy's losing a lot of weight. And it brought me back to Thinner, but it's a totally different thing. You know, in Thinner, it's a curse. And no matter how much food this guy eats, he was kind of, you know, dealing with these weight problems. And in this, it's more inexplicable. And because we're in Castle Rock and Scott is a much more likable character than the main character in Thinner, you really just have a whole different emotional journey with this one, I think.
Oh, for sure. I think we talked about this sort of when we did the Bag of Bones episode where that main character was like pretty likable, didn't really do anything super offensive. And I feel like sort of that way about this character. Like obviously there are still some things in the story that he says that are a little like just judgmental and things like that, but I mean that's normal to any kind of character. But like overall, yeah, he doesn't do anything wrong. He once he finds out that he's got like this kind of, let's just call it affliction, because we never find out what it is, he's like, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy my time and I'm going to try and like mend some bridges and just like do the best I can to like make my life fulfilling, which I think is part of why I liked the story so much, because it is so like, obviously there's still things in it that happen that are a little sad. But to me, I feel like it's a little bit more uplifting as far as like the overall story goes and as far as the character goes, because it's like everyone that's a main character is just like trying their best to just like be a good person and like do what they're supposed to do. And I feel like it's hard. It's really hard to be in Castle Rock in the Stephen King universe and be like any kind of nice, at the foundation, good person.
Yeah. And aside from Scott's weight problem, this is a really grounded story. Like he has tension with his neighbor Deidre because she just keeps letting their dogs poop on his lawn, and that's like, you know, just such a normal everyday thing that I think a lot of people who live in houses in particular experience. And you know, Deidre and Missy are a lesbian couple, and you really dive into that and how little most of Castle Rock has changed because the two of them own a restaurant and people are basically refusing to go in because they're a lesbian couple. And you see how hard it is for small towns to make change in, you know, their everyday life. And the mindset is just wild to see, especially, you know, even rereading this in 2021 and reading it the first time around 2018, 2019, it's just like, yeah, I imagine this is what small towns are like right now. At least some of them, not all of them.
Yeah, for sure. And to kind of like, for lack of a better term, like add insult to injury, like not only do they do make it a point a few times for some of the townspeople are like, if they kind of just were like under the seams about like their relationship, if Deirdre didn't go around calling Missy her wife and all that stuff, maybe it would be okay. But then the restaurant is also like a vegan vegetarian place, which I feel like a lot of times that's kind of like, those are kind of like the big whammies of things that people who are kind of like set in their ways and don't want to change. Those are like the some of the hot button like issues for them. So I feel like for Deirdre and Missy, I admired them for putting themselves in a position where it was kind of like the town is a little bit, or just like the environment is against them, but it's their dream and this is what where they can afford to do it, and they're just gonna like put their all into it. And the character of Deirdre, I appreciated because she's also not perfect. Like there's a lot of things in the story, obviously, where they're discriminated against, they're called nasty things and things like that. But she's also not just a character that smells like roses all the time, even though she's having this adversity, because she is kind of judgmental towards Scott as far as like his weight goes and things like that, because she's a runner and she eats healthy and all this stuff. And so I felt like kind of having those two characters like as a foil to each other gave the story like so much more depth, and like the story pretty much develops because of their relationship.
Yeah, and it's a slow burn too. It's not something that he is able to fix right away. He just keeps trying and trying and trying. And eventually we see that he breaks through more with Missy first, and then she kind of works on Deirdre there. And, you know, they eventually start having dinners together and things like that. And Scott just won't give up, and he's not doing it in like a creepy way or something. But one thing I did want to ask you, you mentioned the nasty name calling and all of the sort of slurs that tend to get used, especially in Stephen King novels. I'm curious how you feel about that, because it's hard to read, obviously, but at the same time, I think we all know there are in fact still people out there who use all of these terrible names just because they don't agree with someone's lifestyle. So King is really good at writing characters you want to hate. And he tends to use this kind of language to get that across. And do you think he could get the same point across without using that language?
I don't know, honestly, actually, because I feel like there are some times where if you're like you said, like some of the small towns, people still think this way. People obviously still use these words. And I think if you're trying to kind of like immerse somebody in an overall atmosphere of like, this is what Castle Rock is, this is what like the town is, and this is how the town people are, I think sometimes it can be used to kind of enhance it. When I question some of it when it goes a little too far. Like, if he has a character say something that's like really offensive, you don't need to keep it going. Like sometimes I think that he takes the liberty of being able to just kind of like say whatever you want a little bit too far. And that's where I start to question it. But if it's just like things that are peppered in, I think sometimes it has its place. So when I said that, I feel like there's a lot more in this story than I remember. Do I think that he could have kind of eased off a little bit and gotten the same point across? Absolutely. But I do think sometimes there is a place for it. Because I think part of it with him is that you never know when an author is writing something and using things like that. Like, it's hard to separate, like, well, actually, does he really in the back of his mind believe this? And that's why he can type it so freely or whatever. Or is it just that, you know, he's been writing for decades and reading this and like seeing things on TV and incorporating it into, like, you know, because like most of the stuff that he writes is about really, truly evil things. And unfortunately, those kinds of thoughts and phrases and words are like kind of embedded in that sort of thing if you're writing about it. So this story specifically, I thought was fine. There's like kind of a few things that I thought were borderline. I was like, okay, let's move on at this point. We get it. It's not as bad as some of his previous stuff, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, because in a lot of his older stuff, there were words that were just sort of used in those time periods that people don't use now unless they are in fact stuck in their ways. And, you know, Castle Rock is obviously a fictional town, but if anyone is going to understand a small town in Maine, it's going to be Stephen King and not me. So, you know,
right,
for me,
right,
it's stuff that is very tough to read, but I think, you know, cutting it out completely would sort of be lying about what certain places are like still.
I agree with that. And I also feel like if you're reading that kind of material and it is hard to read, it's sort of like you obviously don't feel that way. So it's not hurting you. You're not like reading it and then starting to think, well, okay, maybe these people are correct. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like if you're offended by it, I think that's in its own way a good thing.
And I think that's ultimately his point when he does it.
Right, right. I hope so.
At least from everything I've seen him post on like Twitter and stuff, it really seems like he's sort of progressed with the times. And I don't think he would even include a lesbian couple in his stories if he hadn't, because that's something I've noticed over the years. You know, he starts with these stories that are very much of their time. And, you know, we mentioned Thinner, and that's definitely one of them. And I don't think he would write Thinner the same way today as he did back then if he were to, you know, write the same story over again, essentially.
No, yeah, I agree with that. And that's why I was saying I think some of his older stuff is a little bit worse, because I think, yeah, you know, it is really just the sign of the times. And I think that even including that stuff in like a newer story, you can really tell how even though, like I said, I think sometimes I'm just like, okay, move on. We get it. This person is terrible. I think that it's done with a little bit more care. Like some of the other stories are just like, people are just like, every other line is like something offensive. You know what I mean? Whereas in this, it is very separate from like most of the story. And it's mostly just when like Scott is talking or interacting with like somebody else in the town. But you do have some people in the town actually that are like kind of, there's the one guy, I think his name was Mike, who was like the person that like organized the race and was like really excited to have Deirdre as part of it. And he's like, I don't really understand what the big deal is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you do have some people too that are like, that like lift the heavy parts of the town a little bit. And then I think that one of the guys that he gets in a fight with for saying some like not nice things was kind of just like, you know, apologetic about it too. So, I think definitely you can tell that this was written, you know, within the last couple of years, as far as that goes.
Yeah. I was just curious your thoughts on that, because I know it's interesting to see how things started with King, because his career has spanned over 4 decades now. Like, that's a huge difference in time from start to current day. And I've just been, you know, noticing these things as I have read through everything now. And it's nice to see, you know, that he has made progress in some spots, but, you know, he's still not a perfect writer. And I think, you know, there's always stuff that writers can be working on, but, you know, they probably feel the same way too. So to dive into the race that you mentioned a little bit, because this is sort of the big event that things are kind of building up to as far as, you know, what's going on in the town. And you see that Deidre was on the flyers, and then they went and reprinted all the flyers. And you have the fact that just because of who she is and her lifestyle, she is basically being shunned by a large majority of this town. And, you know, it's still a decent amount of people. Castle Rock isn't like a 30-person town. You know, it's a little bigger than that. But I think just all of the buildup they did and having Scott sort of keep pushing, you know, Deidre to get to like him at the same time, I think those parallels worked really well, because you see this one character who is just trying everything imaginable to the point where he's literally just annoying this woman. And you have her working up to this race, and the town is working up to the race. And then it kind of all comes together at the end of the race. And I just really liked how the timing of all of that worked.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the things that I like so much about like his novellas or his short stories, is that, you know, when he's not writing a like 6,000 page story, I feel like his pacing is so much better. And the race, I think, really helped tie everything up, because it really is kind of like the thing that like pulls all of the other storylines together. Because after that, it's kind of just like, you know, I did what I wanted to do, and now I'm just going to like enjoy my life. The work is done. Like, you know, things obviously are not going to be perfect for everybody in Castle Rock, but it did kind of help tie up sort of like the immediate community, because after the race, their restaurant is booked after that. And it kind of really did like tie up that whole like issue with maybe they're going to lose the restaurant because the people in Castle Rock don't care about them or whatever. And it just kind of like was a nice little like bow to pretty much all of the issues, except for the overlying issue, which is what is going on with Scott. Which part of the thing I like about this story is that it starts a mystery, it stays a mystery, we don't know. But I'm like, because everything else is tied up so well, I like kind of really don't care that he doesn't reveal like what the actual problem is.
Yeah, you also have that photo op at the end of the race that I think sort of just cemented the direction the story was going to go in. And I think that worked really well, because, you know, Scott isn't looking like he's lost weight, but he's losing weight, so he's lighter on his feet. And you have that whole dynamic during the race that I really thought was just a fun element to the story, because I think it's probably safe to say that a lot of King's stories aren't meant to be like fun, happy stories throughout. Instead, you typically have these terrible things happening, whether it's, you know, the Bill Hodges trilogy where you have crimes happening, whether it's It where something supernatural is happening, or The Dark Tower where they are on this grueling journey and things keep happening along the way. But with this, it really felt like he was trying to do something a little more optimistic. And, you know, that's not to say that he doesn't have optimistic endings, because I think he does manage to get there. Like, you have these triumphant endings at the end of It and some of his other stories where you're just like, okay, you know, these people made it to the end of this story, they're going to be fine. And unfortunately, Scott sort of floats off like a balloon at the end of this story. But, you know, you have this moment where things just change, and Scott gets to spend time with people. He gets to spend time with Deidre and Missy. He gets to spend time with Dr. Bob, who is completely baffled by everything that's happening with Scott. And, you know, he has been retired for quite some time, so he kind of refers Scott to some other places and tries to see if he'll get tested and whatnot. And, you know, that's just pointless, but it's still showing Scott sort of going through the motions and Dr. Bob going through the motions with all of this. And I just really liked how he wrote each of, you know, sort of those four main characters that we see the most of.
Yeah, I think he did a really good job of like making them. because I feel like sometimes, you know, when you're reading a book and there's a ton of characters, some of the characters aren't really distinct enough and they kind of all like react the same way or what have you. But in this one, I feel like everybody's like purpose and personality is so unique, but it works together so well that, you know, towards the end when you have like the whole group hanging out, it's just like wholesome in a way that like normally you don't really get from King stories. So, even though, you know, there's a countdown because as you said, Scott is like losing weight, even though no one can see it. He also can't like touch them because then they also like defy gravity or something in a really weird way, which is like so wacky. But he still has like so much intimacy in the relationships aside from that, that I just thought was just like came across so well. So that towards the end, even though, you know, he's got this countdown that I think he calls like zero day or something like that, where
yeah,
that's kind of like the end for him. Like, even though that's approaching and happening, the story doesn't get sadder. It gets like more fulfilling and wholesome, which when I first read it, I was not expecting at all. And you know, it is the characters. That's part of what just like really makes this novella stand out to me.
And because this takes place in Castle Rock, you know, there's bound to be at least one reference to another of King's works. And in this one, it is the fact that the suicide stairs from Gwendy's button box get mentioned. And, you know, with Deirdre being a runner and, you know, Scott sort of getting into running himself, it makes sense that something like that would come up. And, you know, he didn't tie this super heavily into like everything that's happened in Castle Rock, which I enjoyed too. It was like, this was a very specific pocket of Castle Rock. You know, this wasn't something that was focused more on the town as a whole or anything like that. And I think that's when King's character work really gets to shine too, when he is sort of a little more contained with how many people are in the story. Because as we've seen, when he includes an ensemble of characters like in It, the story gets very, very long in order to accommodate for all of that character work.
Yeah, and the thing that I like about this one a lot too, you know, kind of it being separate from like all the other crazy stuff that happens normally in Castle Rock, is that like, yeah, you do have this one really weird thing that's happening to Scott. But other than that, it's very much just like kind of like a slice of life. Like everything else that he's dealing with is just completely normal. And even in the very beginning, it's like, even though his illness or whatever gets super kind of wacky for, you know, like a Stephen King kind of turn, he's still kind of treating it just like a normal person that's like dealing with an illness. And so I think that's part of what makes this, again, so much better, because it's just like people are being normal. And yeah, there's this weird thing, but they're reacting to it as if it was like a real life thing that happened and not like clowns from outer space or like whatever.
Yeah. And I really think a lot of his novellas have been more grounded stories. You know, you think of Rita Hayworth and Shawshank Redemption, The Body, even Apt Pupil, and you have, you know, ones that are a little more supernatural, like The Mist, of course, because King's always going to write those kinds of stories too. But for the most part, I've really, really enjoyed the ones that are more grounded. And I will note, I still do really love The Mist. So, you know, there's that. But I just really enjoyed this one overall. And it's literally like you can read this in one sitting if you want to, maybe two, if you have to get up and get some water or something. But it's a pretty easy read. And sometimes that's just nice when you're reading things at the pace that I was reading them for this podcast.
Yeah, for sure. Especially, so this came out, like we said, in 2018. I was working at a bookstore at the time. So I had really gotten back into reading. Like, I still have a few, I have a lot of holes, to be fair, of like older Stephen King stuff. Like some of the more kind of like classic ones I need to go back to. But kind of like starting when I started working at the bookstore is when I started actually reading like all of his new releases, and I just was having a hard time. So the ones that came out between that time was Revival Gwendy's Button Box, which is not, you know, like obviously that's shorter also, then Sleeping Beauties, and then Outsiders. And I read all of that stuff and it, none of it, I just like wasn't enjoying it. So then I got to this one and I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a shot. It's really short. You know, I'm not spending weeks reading it. And I just loved it. It kind of like renewed my, and I think I was kind of in a rut with him, to be honest with you. And it kind of just like renewed my kind of like passion for reading his stuff. So that's why, you know, when we were coming up on this one, I was like, oh, I definitely have to do it because I love it. This is only the second time I reread it, but I've thought about it a lot since I read it that first time in 2018. I think it kind of has a lot to do with like why I'm still actively like into King and like reading his new stuff all the time. I have Elevation to thank for it.
Yeah. And honestly, the stuff that I can see myself going back and rereading are a bunch of the novellas and, you know, some of his older books that were maybe a little shorter, like I want to revisit The Shining because it's the only book I didn't actually reread for the episode when I first started this podcast. And look, I've made some mistakes with this podcast. I will happily admit that. And that was one of them because I had read it like maybe 2 or 3 years before starting the podcast or something like that. Or maybe I had read it in college and I was like, oh, it's fresh enough. And then I was saying things. I was like, no, wait, that's the movie, isn't it? Okay, that's not in the book. And so that's sort of like one of the early mistakes I made with the podcast because that was probably like episode 5 or something. So for right. me, I can definitely see myself, you know, going back and revisiting some of those things. I also really want to revisit the short stories because I read everything as a collection. I didn't read things individually, really, for like the short stories because, you know, I was looking at them as a whole as they were collected, if there was a theme or something like that. So I feel like maybe that wasn't the best way to judge the stories individually since I was judging them as a collection. But, you know, the fact that Elevation came out on its own was really nice. And, you know, I enjoyed Gwendy's Button Box too. And that's, you know, more novella length as well. And I think it would be nice if these just sort of kept coming out like as their own releases, because then you can just look at them by themselves.
No, I agree with you. I started doing that actually a couple of years ago, because I feel like it is hard because when you're reading everything as a collection in your mind, you're like, okay, he wrote all of these and are releasing them together. So there must be a reason. There's probably not really, aside from like, I need to put out a book, but you can't, it's really hard to stop yourself from like trying to look at connections, even maybe there aren't any. And I feel like sometimes you judge the stories more harsh because you're like, oh man, I really liked this short story. Like, and then the next one, maybe I didn't like it as much because the last one was so good. So I do think that there is some value to just like, so when we, every time that we do like, well, we didn't do it this year, but we do our Stephen King month, I try and read the source material either again or for the first time. And some of the, so that's what kind of got me starting to just like pick and choose what I wanted to read. And then I started doing it for other author collections too. And I think it's been so helpful because when I, because you can just like focus on that one story and you're not like, okay, slug it through this story so I get to the next or something like that. So yeah, I think you're right. I think the fact that this came out by itself, which instead of just doing like a random collection again, was like such a smart move. I'm assuming that they did this in like a paperback, but when it first came out, it was just hardcover. And the fact that it was so small, I was like, this is adorable. Yeah. I love it. And I loved the cover. I just like love everything about what they did. So I think some of the other stories would be more popular if they like gave them the same treatment.
And I think they have gone back and done that with at least The Mist. And, you know, I think the novella collections versus the ones that are like a novella and 20 short stories or whatever have had better theming, like different seasons. Each story represents a season. So that made sense. That worked for me. Even I think it's Full Dark, No Stars and Four Past Midnight, they have sort of these little themes to them and the stories fit better together than this sort of hodgepodge of short stories. And, you know, I was reading, I forget which collection it was, but one of them had like a story about Owen's baseball team. just like at the end, and I was like, okay, all right, we'll take it, but I don't really know what to do with this.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting. I read the book the very first time. This last time I just did an audiobook, which was read by him, which is always great. And then at the end, it had just like a short story called Lori, which I had never heard of. And I was like, interesting story. It's literally just like a slice of life. Nothing paranormal, supernatural happens in it. It's just a very slice of, but I was like, why? Like, it just was really strange. Like, bonus. I don't know if it had anything to do with like when it actually came out on audiobook, because obviously it's been a couple years, but I found that very strange. Sometimes I feel like he's just like, I have this story, I don't know what to do with it, just like stick it here. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. But Katie, is there anything else you want to mention about Elevation? I know we went off on a little tangent there, but I figured this would be a shorter episode anyway, so it would be okay. But yeah, do you have anything else before we dive into ratings?
I don't think so.
Well, I will kick us off with some ratings then. I gave this a 4 out of 5. I really enjoyed it. It's a fun little read, and, you know, I'm typically not huge on rereading things. I kind of got myself out of that with, you know, not rereading The Shining. I was like, oh no, I need to reread the things I have read because I will not remember, you know, details. Because I had read like The Green Mile, The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon, and I think Cell before I ever thought about starting the podcast, along with The Shining and maybe one or two others. So I was like, okay, I definitely need to reread things. So even if it was something like Elevation or The Institute, which I had read while I was doing the podcast when they first came out, I was like, no, I'm going to reread them again because I didn't want to make the same mistakes. And, you know, I read this again. I really enjoyed it still, which I was pleasantly surprised with, because sometimes I read things and I enjoy them the first time and then I go back to them and I see all the flaws and I'm like, uh-oh. What did I do the first time?
To be honest with you, I was a little worried about that happening just because my memory of the story was so good. I was like, what if it ruins it? But I still, yeah. I still really enjoyed it. Like I said, there was a little bit more colorful language going on in this one than I remember, but I think that I would give it a 4.5.
Some of the stuff just being tough to read is kind of why I docked it that one star there. And, you know, usually that stuff, you know, it seems like we're both on the same page. It's either like half a star or a star kind of gets docked for that sort of stuff. But yeah, if anyone listened all the way through this and hasn't read it, I still recommend reading it. I've been terrible at doing spoiler warnings, so I will have to like pre-record one and start inserting it in episodes since I never remember. Because, you know, I'm so used to talking about the older stuff. It's like, okay, if you haven't read Carrie, that one's kind of on you.
Yeah, exactly.
You've had time.
Yeah. I still feel like there's a lot. I don't know. I feel like I do spoiler warnings, even though our show is literally going scene by scene through movies. And I'm like, spoiler alert, this guy's a killer. Like, obviously, if you're listening to it. But I don't know. I still think this is definitely worth it. It's literally like an hour or two of your time. I think the audiobook is like under 4 hours even. So like, yeah. Deep clean your kitchen and just go for it. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah. Not nearly as time consuming as so many of his other reads. But Katie, thank you so much for coming on to talk about this one. I was definitely excited to get some thoughts out on it. And, you know, I'm closing in here. We're catching up. Episode 150 is now done.
I can't believe it. This was like a perfect one for me. So I'm just so excited that I was able to talk about something that I like actually like really, really like. And then also it was episode 150. It just kind of all came together.
Very nicely. Thank you again.
Thank you.
All right. That does it for this episode of Chat Cemetery. You can support the podcast on Patreon for $1 a month. You'll get a thank you on the show. For $2 a month, I will send you a Chat Cemetery sticker. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Chat Cemetery on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You could also rate and review the show. That's a huge help. And as always, thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.